I'll just quickly, I'm not going to share anything too amazing, too in-depth. I'm going to keep it simple tonight because I just want us to leave this evening and knowing this isn't the end of something here. We're not ending the evening service. We're just transferring what you guys have brought here. We're taking it to the morning for a while. Because that's what it is. God has done something special here. I know that. I've loved this part of the Sunday. Yes, obviously the morning is great because my kids are there and they can do all their stuff. But this is there's something special about this evening. I don't know, maybe it's you've got a whole day to contemplate whether or not you want to come. It's not kind of like you've woken up before you can think you're in your car and you're on your way to church. That ritual that we've been raised with. Maybe it's something you've planned your whole day that this evening you're going to be here. And by the time you get here, you've actually prepped yourself. Well, I don't know what it is. But it's awesome. And the word, just one word that stood out for me leading to this evening. And I didn't want to preach anything too hectic or too lawny. I just wanted to keep it simple. And I was like, Lord, I don't actually know what I want to share tonight. I know I want to worship tonight. I know I want to lift your name up. But for the rest, I don't know what it's going to look like. And there was one word that over the course of Thursday, Friday, just one word that came up, and that was mystery. Mystery. I was like, okay, I know the scriptures more or less, they talk about mystery. Whoa, okay, can anybody see me? Hold on. Can you see me? Now I'll clip this on my shirt. Okay, so the word that came up was mystery. Okay, it was just like those horror movies, campfire stories. And then he knocked on the door. Doof, doof. And there was a scream. Are you going to follow me around, Brad? Follow me around. The light of the world. Blair Witch. Okay. Okay, while you can hear my voice at least. You don't have to see me. See my bad facial expressions when I'm uncertain. So the word that came up was mystery. So I'll start with this first scripture just to read. He wrote to you, Romans 16:25-26. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. I don't think that's quite right, correct grammar. But anyway. But has now been disclosed that through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. Mystery that was kept. I can see myself now. Mystery that was kept secret for long ages. And just this word mystery, when thinking about it, I'm like, okay, this mystery, what is this mystery? What is this thing that's been kept secret for these long ages that the prophets used to write about? Okay, Colossians 1:24-27 talks a bit about it, but before we go there, look. Thinking about this, I'm like, what is this mystery? And then it's pretty simple. As I'm saying, it's not a complicated message tonight. The mystery is God with us. God with us. What the prophets of old, some of them had a glimpse of it. What the lawgivers of old, what all those Israelites in the desert wanted. They wanted a God with them. Hence the golden calf. There's a hunger for this. There's a hunger for this. I want this presence with me because we know deep down inside we know there's a fulfillment that only comes with this presence. That's why we are so eager to make all these false things. But when you make it, you don't think it's false. You just know there's this hole that I need to fill and I need to fill it with something. And we put this thing on a pedestal and it can be anything. Idols are not necessarily golden calves. Anything that takes your attention away and distracts you from what is the one and only lover of your soul is an idol. Anything. And there's some more intense things than others. There's things that are more gripping and have a stronger hold on you. That's why people hunger for things like they're going to drugs, going to alcoholism. They're going to all these things because there's a need to just either deaden it, to numb this feeling, or there's a desire to fill it with something. And for that brief moment when you're numb or whatever it is, or you're numb in front of the TV, that was my drug of choice for a long, long time. Still got to fight that temptation, that golden calf sitting on my table at home. But it's there, and it's real. And it's real because there's a hunger. Everything else that we say, Lord, is that's not a true religion. It's not a false, you know, it's a false religion. And then people will come back with the argument, yo, but, you know, yoga brings me peace. What's wrong with it? You know, all religions are the same because they preach goodness to other people, good tidings. They preach all these great things. Everybody wants the benefits of God, but they don't want God. Amen. Thank you. One amen. Yes. And one at the back there. They want the benefits of God, but they don't want God. And it wouldn't be the truth if other religions wouldn't try to manufacture it themselves. Yo, but if I meditate, I get peace. So how can that be wrong? It's not wrong. Peace is scriptural. Rest is scriptural. Wisdom is scriptural. So Satan would be really not that smart if he tried to manufacture something completely opposite to what is in scripture, that what God promises us. He wouldn't be the smartest guy in the world. Okay, I'm not saying he is the smartest guy in the world, but you know what I mean. It would be pretty stupid of him to do that. We know he's not really that stupid. He just is whatever. Anyway, Colossians 1, 24, 27. Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery revealed to the Gentiles, made known all across the world, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This mystery that for how many thousands of years, before the coming of Christ, there's this period where people are hungry and they're looking for this thing and they just couldn't attain it. Try to stick all these rules on the outside, but what they were hungering for was that God hold to be filled. Simple message. We've heard it many times. But that's this mystery. This mystery that says the Creator God, who created everything, by a word, chooses to dwell within us, chooses to tabernacle within us. And what I want you to take from this message tonight is not something new, but a reminder of this is who we are as saints. Scripture says he chose to reveal it in his saints. Those who've called on his name and surrendered his life like Joan has done tonight. You're a saint, brother. You're a saint and Christ lives inside of you now. He chose to tabernacle with us, to step down. And that's that mystery that is unfathomable. It's inexplainable. Incomparable. Where does that song go? And then this mystery that is revealed within us is not just something that God chooses to show off with. There is a ripple effect in our lives and those lives around us. And amazing that this mystery of God is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We can have that hope because we know there's things that start happening in us. First thing that happens is there's a change within us. It comes to dwell inside of us, and in so doing, we become more like him. Okay, did I just lose that page that I was supposed to be using? Yes, I did. Couple of simple points, starting off with renewing. Every other religion says X, Y, and Z, and you'll get to this higher level. Every other religion says, do this, attain a higher level, and you'll get to this point to make contact with the eternal. That's what every other religion says. Every other religion, stand like this, point your toes like this, get up at this time of the morning, look at that sun, and look at that moon, wait till the equinox, wait till, then you will get to this level. And here's the thing, the mystery of Christ says he will come dwell inside of you, come tabernacle with us. tabernacle with us. Say tabernacle 10 times fast. tabernacle with us. And then Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So there's this process that comes and takes place. There's part of we responded, we surrender, and there's a renewing of the mind that comes. And the amazing thing is what he says is, through testing, you'll be able to discern the will of God. So in other words, you're going to get to a point where things are going to go tough, where things are going to go be difficult. And if anybody's sitting and say, "Oh, that's never happened to me," we'll pray for you afterwards, because I can guarantee you there's something that has happened or that is busy happening. Okay? Either that, or you are Jesus and you're just going to surprise us quickly afterwards and be like, "But I doubt it," because we'd all know it by now. By testing, sometimes you get to this point where things go tough, where the heat is on, and what comes out of you is not cursing, it's not hatred. What comes out of you is understanding the will of God and speaking likewise. What comes out of you is speaking His perfect will into being. Can you imagine getting to that point? I'm not at that point yet. I trust that by sitting at His feet, by surrendering and understanding this principle, understanding that this mystery has been revealed to me, it's not something that I have to strive for, work hard to get. It has been revealed to me. It has been revealed in me. And sitting at His feet, getting to that point where I know when I get squished, hard pressed on every side but not crushed, what comes out of me is the love of Christ. What comes out of me is kindness and goodness, long-suffering. That's what comes out of me. Because that is His will, so that everybody might know His goodness. When I'm sitting at work and my boss is putting pressure and the heat is on and those deadlines are coming, what comes out of me is that people experience the presence of the living God. And it's so humbling when you doubt yourself. We all go through that, come on. I know some of you are a little bit more perfect than the rest of us, but I doubt myself often. I've got a bit of a fear of man, and God's got to work through it with me. I've shared this a little bit. Christina's heard it 50 times already, but you can hear it again. I was in the Model C system, 92, getting taken out of, traditionally colored schools or black schools and put in a now non-white, white school, if you know what I mean. So obviously my challenge was trying to fit in. So there's this insecurity constantly of, do I fit in? And I got to the point, I went to a private school before that. My parents sacrificed quite a bit, which I only now in my memory banks have noticed that that's actually what it was. He didn't give me his food just because he was, full. He gave it to me because there was no other food type thing. But anyway, so working through a system like that, as amazing as it was in just giving me a perspective cross-culturally, it also fed into this fear of man. Because now I didn't fit in with my homies, back home in Blackheath. I didn't fit in with them anymore because I started speaking different. And I also didn't quite feel like I fit in, with a typical, white crowd. But I had to find my way into it. So I had to change myself constantly. And in so doing, there was always a fear of getting found out that I don't fit in. So there's this fear of man. So anyway, long story short, there are moments where I doubt myself, where I need God to come remind me, but I don't always look at it that way. I'm just like, I don't fit in. I can't do anything. And then God comes and He reminds you in the most unexpected ways. You don't even have to ask Him, but that's how faithful He is. God works in you to do and to will according to His good pleasure. And sometimes, if you don't let Him work in you, He'll work around you to get you going where He wants you to go. I remember walking at Waterstone, and I bump into a friend from school that I've known since my Model C primary school 92 days. Bump into him there, and his life has been turned around by Jesus Christ. He was in a terrible accident once upon a time, but he's now married. He showed me his little boy, so proud of him, testifying how they prayed over him, and all that sort of stuff. And his wife, out of the blue, doesn't know me from a bar of soap. When I'm like, I'm going to go buy myself a whiskey. Don't take that. I didn't say that. And she's like, there's like this light coming from you. And I really see a light on you, And I was just like, thanks, stranger. obviously I didn't say that. But inside, that's what I was. And I just left and I was like, Lord, again, I'm just humbled by your ever-present love. And if you've forgotten that's the type of God you serve, be reminded that's what He is like. He will remind you of His love for you. That you're not standing because of your ability to do the right things. You're standing because of His grace and your ability to recognize it and surrender it to it is going to take you so much further in this race of endurance. Okay, so first of all is that renewal. When we get squished, these things come up because we're not trying to bring it out. We're not trying to be more humble. It's just as we go through this process of sanctification, these things is what comes out of us. When we get cut, what comes out of us is the blood of Christ, which brings new life to those around us. The second thing is you ultimately you become a new man. Not only does your mind get renewed, but you as a person become completely new. Scripture says you become a new creation. Colossians 3, 9 to 10 says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Okay, it's actually easier to read from there, weird enough. Anyway, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Do you know how you can tell if people watch too much TV when they can read from the screen better than they can read from pieces of paper? Put off the old self, but it's been put off. That old self that used to swear, that used to get angry at the smallest thing, be reminded that that self is gone. That self only creeps back when you submit to that as opposed to Jesus Christ. When you forget that, you know what, I don't have to swear like it. I don't have to. I choose to still swear like it, but I don't have to. Michael always laughs when I tell her, she cannot believe that I used to talk like it. I used to listen to Lil Jon. Who knows Lil Jon here? Wow. You guys are very sanctified here. But anyway, I used to listen to Lil Jon. I remember there was one song. And it was, I think it was in the year, the New Year's, just before I met Mahli, who started witnessing to me and took me to church. And then eventually I got saved, fell in love, blah, 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 got married, long run. But I remember that I just came back from America. And I was as unsaved as you can get. Came back, and New Year's, we're in Langebaan. Oh, not a good place to go on New Year's if you're looking to do naughty things. But anyway, went to Langebaan. We just obviously doing the typical getting wasted, all that sort of stuff. And there was this one, so just to show you, just paint the picture of what God can do to someone. And I remember there's this one song he had, and I played it, I don't know how many times, at full blast. And the song's lyrics were, why are you effing with me? That was the whole song. You know, but he would shout it. I'm not going to sing it, obviously. And don't use your imagination, it might get defiled. But it was bad, and that's what I was like. You know, going out on the beach, oh, it was terrible. But anyway, now when I tell people that, they're like, no, whatever. Whatever, man, you're making it up. But I'm like, you'll never know if I'm making up, will you? Because that's how new I am right now. You know, but that's where I was. And I was promiscuous like you wouldn't believe. You know, I went to the States. There's many stories. Now, I will be short, guys, 10 to 15 minutes. Okay, so I've got 2 minutes left. Went to the States, and I discovered my manners. You know, I went over there being a bit of a nerd, got over there, and I turned into Superman. I went, it was Clark Kent, yeah, and when I got there, I was Superman. And then I came back still thinking I was Superman. You know, and then God quickly came and saved me from really messing up. I messed up already. But there was a lot of other things that could have happened. I could have lost my life. The amount of times I drove home from Stellenbosch, and I can't remember how I got in my own bed. God's hand of grace. If you're sitting here now, and you've responded to the message of salvation, you can thank the Lord that His grace has kept you till this point. That's the only reason you're sitting here. It's the only reason you're sitting here. And you know what? You could walk out here now, and something could happen to you. He has still saved your life. Paul says he so much wishes that he could be with his maker right now. But it's better for those he's ministering to that he stays for a while. But he wishes that he could die. But to get to that point, it's only when you get to that point when you understand I'm a new man. The old self is gone. The mystery has now been revealed within me. That's beautiful. It really is beautiful. If it doesn't bring you to tears when you're in that place and you're reminded of it and you're just like, Lord, I could have... You know, I'm suffering financially right now. But for the cross, I have everything. I'm suffering relationally right now. But because of your cross, I still have everything. To get to that point, there's nothing more freeing than that. I've got a message I'm planning for in a couple of weeks based on Avengers 2. I'm going to have to watch the movie for research. But I've got a message I'm busy preparing on that, so watch the space. But it's got to do with that, about what does it mean to be free? It's free is getting to that point of knowing you can take everything. Peter, you can crucify me upside down, but I'm free. Paul, I've been shackled, I've been stoned, I've been beaten, everything, but I'm free. I shared last time, imagine to find that peace where you could be like Stephen, on your knees, and you know this is it. That first stone hits you. Excruciating pain, and all you can do is look up to heaven and be like, Lord, thank you. I commit my soul into your hands to get to that place. No yoga can give you that peace. No rule can give you that peace. No anything, no meditation can give you that peace. Because I can tell you now, Stephen wasn't able to meditate while those stones were hitting him. He just knew. He got to that place where he was a new man. So when he got squashed, what came out of him was the peace and the joy of the Lord. To look up to heaven and to see that, to get to that point, is this mystery that's being revealed within us. That the world can only guess and try to figure out what it is, but is being revealed within us. Day to day, whether you realize it or not, you're being transformed more into his likeness. Every day you come home and you had a bad day, maybe you lost your cool at work, but you get home and you're feeling guilty about it. The reason you feel like that is because the Holy Spirit is just reminding you, whoa, remember, you're made in the image of Christ. Don't worry about this. Don't worry that you lost your temper. Tomorrow's a new day, and we'll take this one step at a time. Whereas the world's like, but I was right to lose my temper. Screw him. Screw them all. I'm the king of the world. That's where the world is. We're like, no. One step at a time. I'm more and more being transformed into his likeness. Okay, and then he works in us. This mystery also works through us. So it's not just a self-help thing. And unfortunately, there's a lot of very popular Christian ministries out there, which is blessed, but they don't ever transition from in us to through us. Because the more you focus on, Lord, when am I going to be fixed? When I'm fixed, I know you're working in me and you're making me a new creation, so I'm allowing you to do this process in me, and then I'm ready to take on the world because I will be a new creation. No, you are a new creation from the moment of your salvation. That's when it starts. That's when the through us starts. Not one day, because I've got news for you. The sanctification process, this process of being renewed daily, taken from strength to strength, from glory to glory, ends when you are 6 feet under or Jesus has come back already. That's when it ends. So if you're waiting for that, I've got news for you. You're going to be standing before him one day and he's going to be like, okay, these talents I gave you, where are they? Oh yeah, I buried them because I wasn't able to use them. And we all know what happens in that story. Okay? Whether you've got one talent, whether you've got one ability, whether you've got one gifting, and all your gifting is to pat someone on the back and be like, well done. Use it. Use it. Because it will be multiplied. Okay, so he works through us. John 14:12 says, Jesus says, the words of Jesus, that should be in red. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. How many of us are walking in that understanding? How many of us are walking in it that from the moment of my birth, Jesus has already spoken over me and said, you will do greater works than me, greater in magnitude. You're not just going to heal one blind person. You're not just going to lead one person to the Lord. You're going to lead masses to the Lord. And like I shared last time, it could just be you sharing through your testimony. But you set that person on a collision course with the salvation of his soul, with the empty tomb. Greater works. Greater in magnitude. And there's something that we can do that Jesus never did. Do you know that? Jesus never led anybody to salvation according to the new covenant. He was still in the old covenant. Up till his day of resurrection, there was still the old covenant that was being. That's why he came to fulfill the law and explained how it all got fulfilled in him. And then when he was on the cross, he said, today, in this new dispensation, because of your belief, you'll be with me. And Jesus then says, in his word, through his word, he says, go. They cannot believe if they've not heard. They cannot hear if you do not go tell them. I want to use you, Christina. I want to use you, Marlies. Go. Go do something that I never did, but I'm giving you the authority and I'm doing it through you right now. Is that not amazing? Works in us first and he works through us also. He works through us to expand the kingdom, to take this message of repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. It is here. It's not at hand, it is here. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Repent and believe. Turn away from your things that are keeping you trapped and move and look towards the King, the lover of your soul. Don't let his death be in vain. Don't let his shed blood be in vain. But turn to him. Believe in him. And greater works than what he did, you will do also. All those works. I've been reading a book now. Almost finished. I'm coming to the end. Wrapping up. I've been reading a book now. I read John G. Lake, The Power Spirit thing. Some of you might have read it already. I'm now reading, Theo lent it to me, The Azusa Street Stories. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But believable, because that's the God we serve. The testimonies of what these people shared. And when you read it, as a believer, I'm getting stirred and I'm like, I want that. That's why we know that abscess is going to be healed in his mouth. Why his stomach is going to be restored. Because that's what God says. You're going to do these works. You're going to restore sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and ears, they get cut off. And I mean, in these stories at the Azusa Street, for those of you who don't know what the Azusa Street revival was, Azusa Street, it's a place in America. It's in this warehouse, a man by the name of William Seymour, just through prayer and just following the leading of the Holy Spirit, just started ministering. And God's presence just poured out powerfully. For 3.5 years, people would have ears grow back. There's a story of a woman who got into a fight with her husband's mistress, and the mistress bit off her ear. And she went into the meeting while it was still bleeding, and this lady just spoke to her and said, be healed. And the ear grows back in front of her. William Seymour prays for a man who's got cancer in the mouth. Obviously, all his teeth is gone, yeah, and those of you who know cancer is a pretty ugly thing. It had eaten away all of this over here. So it was just black, they describe it. And as he prays for him, he says, be healed in Jesus' name. In front of their eyes, it starts growing back. Teeth start coming back. Many amazing stories like that. And I believe because that's the God we serve. And he says, this is what you will be doing. Some people are preaching, oh no, it happened back then. It's happening right now. Some of you are going to leave this thing as service tonight and you're going to go home without anybody even praying for you and things are going to change in your life. You're going to be healed. And Tiana shared last time, no one even prayed for her, am I right? No one even prayed for her and she was healed of a back thing. Your legs. Amen, hallelujah. Someone say amen, please. You know, no one prayed for her, but the presence of God, her being in the presence, surrendering to him, came and healed her of something she'd had for years. Well, not for years. Okay, so the kingdom, expanding his kingdom. Okay, and yeah, I'm going to end with this now. And I really am going to end with this now. John 15. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Does it go on? I think that's the end. So here's the thing. This mystery being revealed in you is going to make you an alien. You're not going to fit in. And if you fit in too much in this world and you're laughing at their jokes and they like telling you their jokes, then you need to reassess. Just are you responding to God's grace in your life? Are you doing justice to him working through you, in you and through you? Are you saying, yes, Lord, here I am, use me? Or are you saying, okay, great, I'm going to heaven now. I'll just sit back, relax, and I'll tell all the same jokes. Scripture says, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Make your salvation genuine by your actions. The actions that don't flow from trying to do them, but flow from a renewed mind and a renewed heart. And you will not fit in this world. But here's the thing. The more we don't fit in, the more people want to fit in with us. The more we don't fit in with them, the more they want to fit in with us. The more they want to know, what is this light that's coming from you, Nick? What is this light that's coming from you, Paul? What is this? Why do I feel safe when I'm with you? What is this? They can hate you in front of your face, but when they're in that room, their mind is going, okay, I hate him because he's so peaceful and I feel so good around him. But I don't want to give up what I've got. I don't want to change. I'm too scared what's on the other side. 1 Corinthians, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Don't try and explain through your spiritual Christian lingo all the amazing things God's doing in your life. Live the lifestyle, have your testimony speak, and from that the gospel will flow. Live your life. People out in the world who hate you, doesn't matter how much Christianese you share, doesn't matter how much you say principalities and powers and bind this, bind that, they do not get it. We understand it because our eyes have been opened by the Spirit. Show them the love of Christ. Show them your testimony working in you daily. Be the light in their presence. Then they'll want to know about these things that they do not understand. But it starts with their minds and their hearts being opened by the gospel of salvation. Walk in that, live in that, and let God work through you. And when I say God work through you, I don't mean do more. I mean God work through you. And he will work through you. He will give you those opportunities. He will give you those times where you can speak life into someone's life. But be patient, because God needs to do it, not you. And lastly, last scripture, and then we'll worship a little bit more before we end. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. This mystery, verse 9, talks about as the salvation of our souls. The prophets and everything used to write about, and the angels long to look into this. Those that are circling his throne daily, night and day, singing, holy, holy, holy. They long to understand and to look into what is this mystery? What is it that he's doing in these human beings, these dust balls, these bags of mud? What is he doing in them? This mystery that angels who are in his presence, who stare at his face, who cover their face because they're confronted with him so often, and they're not worthy to look at him. They are like, what is it that the Lord Almighty is busy doing? What is it that the Lamb is busy doing amongst them? Do not neglect this mystery that's being built up and being revealed in you. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to worship a little bit more. Do not neglect it. Hunger and thirst for his righteousness. Hunger and thirst for what only he can give you. Hunger and thirst for his presence. And right now, where you're standing, as we're going to... I've asked them to sing this, not a slave anymore, because without us realizing it, we almost go back to the familiar. We go back to the familiar, all those habits that have kept us bound for years, we go back to that. And we forget that we're not bound to it. We don't have to go back to it. But sometimes we choose to go back to it because those habits of looking down on ourselves and being like, I'm not worthy, resurface. And what I want you to leave with tonight is that this mystery is being made known. The salvation God has given to you. He's implanted his living word inside of you. Be reminded of that daily. Be reminded of that tonight. That when you leave here and the enemy comes in and he tries to remind you of all your failings, remind him of all the victories of the cross. Remind him of where you were and where you are now. Yes, there's stuff that God's trying to still work out of you. But remind him of everything he has done this far. Remind him that you're still holding on to the coattails of Jesus, even though sometimes it feels like you've only got one hand on it. But remind him you're still holding on. When the crowd gets too thick and you all those lies and all those thoughts and all those accusations are feel like they're preventing you from getting to Jesus. Be like that woman who pushed through the crowd, those eager beavers wanting to get to Jesus, who pushed through the crowd and was like, look, all I need is a touch of his robe. That's all I need. Be that person that will not settle for being a doormat for every work of the enemy. Do not settle for that. Declare over your life that I am a child of God. this amazing mystery that angels have no idea about, that prophets, Elijah, all of them could not taste. He's revealing in me right now. And I'm born again. I'm born again. I'm a son of the Most High. And as we worship now, if you know you're in that place right now and your thoughts are more focused on what you're doing wrong than what you've done right. In other words, respond to that call of being made righteous by Him. If that's where you are right now, as we are singing, I'm going to ask you to just take that step of boldness right now. And make that statement, step out of the crowd and say, Lord, here I am. I don't want to hide in the crowd. I'm real about this salvation walk with you. I'm being honest that I am feel like I'm messing up right now. Take that step out and let us pray with you. Let us stand in faith, because that's what we're here for as brothers and sisters, is to stick out that hand and be Christ when we cannot see Christ. To be that Christ for someone when their eyes are just to the ground, and just be like, look, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory is reaching out to you now. Stand, let us pray with you. If that is you, I'm going to ask you to respond. And if you're here and you know you need to kind of make a, I don't like using a word, but sometimes we need to do that. Just that recommitment of Jesus, I'm serious about this salvation. I want to bear those fruits that are worthy of this repentance that I've made. If that is you, need to recommit, or maybe you need to commit for the first time. Sorry, I'm putting that out there because I don't know everybody's here, so I don't know where you are at. And I don't want you to leave here without responding to that, like Joanne responded earlier. Joanne, sorry, man, I'll get your name right afterwards. He responded to that. He didn't know he was responding for a healing, but God first wanted to heal his heart. First wanted to heal his soul. So like I said, I don't know all of you, but if you're not in that relationship, I'm going to ask you just to respond here on my right, and we're going to all stand witness to your rebirth. And if you need just some encouragement and you just need some hands laid on you in prayer just to get you through a difficult time right now, I'm going to ask you to come to my left here, your right. And let's just leave tonight knowing that we are walking out, revealing God's love to the world, His power to save and to break the shackles.